My dearly beloved in Christ, we begin today's gospel with the words, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Who are the false prophets? Anyone who would lead you astray. Anyone who would say, "Listen to me, I'm an authority. I know what I'm talking about. You should follow what I tell you." And certainly, there are many of those false prophets in the world today. I know of a number of people who have been going to Mass, one of our parishes, living good Catholic lives, and then they read something on the internet, got all mixed up and thought, "Oh, I can't go to that priest anymore, or that church, or I can't attend Mass there anymore," because of something they read. So we have to be so careful in what we read. And this brings up the idea, or the word, censorship. Now, what do you think of when you hear that word censorship? 21st century Americans, we have a tendency to think, "Oh, that's something bad," right? That's the normal reaction. And in fact, we know politically that there were individuals or organizations or companies that tried over recent elections to censor certain voices, certain opinions, in order to control an election. So we say, well, that's evil. But just in general, think about those of you who are parents. Would you allow your children to read anything, to watch anything, to have access to anything? Of course not. You very carefully control the media, the friends, the places your children would go, and so forth. That's censorship. And we, being children of Holy Mother, the church is our mother, also practices censorship. In other words, the church is concerned not with other areas, but with theology and morals, faith and morals. That's where the church says, don't listen to other people. This is what we teach you, Holy Mother Church. This is what we teach you, and we don't want you listening to non-Catholics or individuals who would teach you contrary-wise, because we're concerned for your soul. Now, you think about human nature, the state of fallen human nature, we need to have very clear parameters. It's interesting, you think about the Ten Commandments. Two of them are framed in a positive way. Remember, thou keep holy the Lord's day, honor thy father and thy mother. But the other eight commandments are all, thou shalt not. And even the two that are framed positively include prohibitions, right? The third commandment forbids unnecessary servile work on Sunday. The fourth commandment forbids disrespect, disobedience to parents and lawful authority. So we need, in our state of fallen human nature, to be told what is right and what is wrong. Interestingly, at Vatican II, John the 23rd came out at the very opening session of Vatican II and said, "We are not going to condemn any errors. This council is going to be different. We're just going to talk about the positive things about the church, and that will lead people into the church." Well, look what happened. So Holy Mother Church traditionally has been very authoritative in teaching us what we can read, what we have access to, and so forth. There are, in canon law, canons 1384 to 1405, so how many is that? About 25 canons of the church regarding the prohibition of books. And I want to read a few of them to you, just to get the idea of, you know, the mind of Holy Mother Church. Here is canon 1384. The church has the right to demand that Catholics shall not publish any books without first submitting them for her judgment and approval, and to forbid, for a good reason, the reading of books published by anyone. Whatever is prescribed under this title regarding books shall be applied also to newspapers, periodicals, and all other published writings, unless the contrary is certain. Here's the next canon, 1385. Without previous ecclesiastical approval, even laymen are not allowed to publish, number one, the books of sacred scripture or annotations and commentaries on them, number two, books treating of sacred scripture, theology, church history, canon law, natural theology, ethics, or other religious or moral sciences, books or pamphlets of prayers, or of devotions, or of religious, moral, ascetic, or mystical doctrine and instruction, and other works of a similar nature, even though they seem conducive to the fostering of piety. Finally, other writings in general, which contain anything that has a special bearing on religion or morality. And third, any reproduction whatsoever of sacred images, whether they are issued with or without prayers. So you couldn't even print and publish a holy card, a picture, unless you had the approval of the bishop of the diocese, the imprimatur. What does imprimatur mean? Let it be printed. It is an authoritative judgment by the ordinary that something can be printed. So someone wants to write a book of prayers, a prayer book. They'd submit it to the local bishop. He would have his theologians read it, and they say there's nothing wrong, and if the bishop decides he'll give permission for it to be printed, then he would put on it his imprimatur. Here's a couple more on the prohibition of books. What is forbidden? This is canon 1398. The prohibition of books has this effect, that the forbidden books may not, without due permission, be published, read, retained, sold, or translated into another language, or communicated to others in any manner. A book which has in any way been forbidden may not again be published until the demanded corrections have been made, and the authority which forbade the book, or his superiors or superior or successor, has given permission to publish it. Another one. This is the next canon. It's kind of long. I won't read the whole thing. But this is a list of books forbidden by law. So you couldn't even have these in your possession. In fact, if you had these in your house, let's say you have, I've been in people's homes, and they have a Protestant Bible. And I'm thinking, don't you realize it's an excommunication just to have that in your home? So we, again, need to be understand the mind of the church. By the law itself are forbidden, number one, editions of the original text or of ancient Catholic versions of the sacred scriptures published by non-Catholics. Number two, books of any writers defending heresy or schism or tending in any way to undermine the very foundations of religion. Number three, books which avowedly attack religion or good morals. Four, books of any non-Catholics treating professedly of religion, unless it is certain that they contain nothing contrary to the Catholic faith. Number five, books of sacred scripture, notes and commentaries thereon, and translations which have been published without the permission required. Books and pamphlets which give an account of new apparitions, revelations, visions, prophecies, or miracles, or which introduce new devotions, unless the precepts of the canons regarding these publications have been observed. Number six, books which treat or ridicule any of the Catholic dogmas, or which defend errors condemned by the Holy See, or which disparage divine worship, or strive to overthrow ecclesiastical discipline, or which have the avowed aim of defaming the ecclesiastical hierarchy or the clerical religious states. Number seven, books which treat or approve of any kind of superstition, fortune-telling, divination, magic, communication with spirits, and other things of that kind. Number eight, books which declare duels, suicide, or divorce as licit, which treat of the Masonic and other similar sects, and contend that these are not pernicious, but rather useful to the church and civil society. Number nine, books which professedly discuss, describe, or teach impure and obscene topics. 10, editions of liturgical books approved by the Holy See which have been unlawfully changed in some particulars. 11, books which publish indulgences which are apocryphal or which have been condemned or recalled by the Holy See. 12, any images whatsoever of our Lord, of the Blessed Virgin, of the angels, or of the saints, or other servants of God, which are not in harmony with the spirit and decrees of the church. That's amazing when you think about this. So this is the mind of the church. And what am I saying here? With regards to the gospel, beware of false prophets. We have to be careful who we listen to, who wants to influence us. We live in the days of the Wild West of the internet, the Wild West of technology. Anybody can print with a printer something, photocopy and print something. Anybody can put out a podcast. This is a big thing nowadays. You know, it used to be blogs, and now it's a YouTube channel or a podcast. People want to have their followers. They want to be an influencer. Nothing wrong with having your own podcast if it's gardening or mechanics or hunting or whatever. But when it comes to faith and morals, theology, the teachings of the church, you can't just have anybody and everybody putting out their own opinions. We have listed in the bulletin websites that we recommend, or podcasts, or that you know, that we would approve of. But what would a Catholic do? Given these teachings of the church on prohibition of books and applying that to our age, well, you can't have recourse to the local ordinary, because all of these modern bishops are modernists, no longer even valid. So we wouldn't look to them for authority. But we follow the mind of the church. And I would say someone who's going to have a website that is on religion, theology, should have a priest or bishop as a guide to review the material, to give guidance, etc. There are some websites and podcasts, etc., that have done a lot of good and reached souls and brought souls in. But as I said at the beginning of the sermon, there are also some of those who have led people astray. So beware of false prophets. And one last thing, just a little historical information for you over the last 50, 60 years, is Vatican II started all of this attitude, this free-for-all. You don't need to get permission to publish and so forth. That goes back to the 1960s and Vatican II. And interestingly, you've heard of what is called the Index of Forbidden Books. That is something the church started in 1560. That was done away with by Paul VI in 1966. Also, it used to be required, and I read this, to have an imprimatur. Paul VI also did away with the requirement of an imprimatur. Now, Vatican II ended in 1965. And in 1967, 2 years later, a group of presidents of Catholic universities in the United States got together in a place called Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin. And they were discussing what they believed should be allowed in Catholic universities. And that is that the students can have recourse to any material whatsoever. There should be no censorship. And they issued this statement, quote, "To perform its teaching and research functions effectively, the Catholic university must have a true autonomy and academic freedom in the face of authority of whatever kind, lay or clerical, external to the academic community itself." What is that saying? We're not going to listen to the Holy See. We don't care what a pope says or a bishop says. We're going to have complete academic freedom. And that was signed by the presidents of Notre Dame, Georgetown, Seton Hall, Boston College, Fordham, St. Louis University, etc. There are many so-called Catholic universities in this country. But as of 1967, they said, we're going to have complete academic freedom and nobody's going to tell us what we can teach, etc. So this just shows you what we call the spirit of Vatican II and what it resulted in. This is totally un-Catholic, totally contrary to what the church has always taught. So think about this. You, parents, wouldn't allow your children to just read or watch anything. Well, Holy Mother Church also, as our mother, is concerned for her children. So this is what I think of when I read the words of today's gospel. Beware of false prophets. Many people are being led astray because they believe this person, or they read something, or they followed this website, and take it as gospel truth, and get all mixed up. So then the final point would be, how do you know whom you can trust? Because doesn't it really come down to a trust? You trust somebody. Even though you try and be judicious and careful and judging, you're going to trust somebody, bottom line. Well, our Lord himself gives us the guidance. By their fruits, you will know them. Every good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. So by their fruits, you will know them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.